for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, May the 22nd, 1992. A Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim and Mildred Coffee are the speakers of the morning. Well, it's a privilege and an honor to have the Coffees come. They've been coming here for quite a while and setting. And last camp meeting and this camp meeting, we're starting to put them to work. It's fine for them to come and set, but we're also going to let them minister that which the Lord has given them also unto us here. They're able ministers of deliverance that the Lord has called also into the deliverance ministry, and we appreciate them. And so Brother and Sister Coffee are going to come and to take the rest of the morning, and even might even be the afternoon if they don't get through. Yesterday was fast day, and it wouldn't matter if we fast again today, if so be. Brother Jim, come and pretty please.
I'm Jim. That's Mildred. We co-pastor a church in Millington, Tennessee, which is just north of Memphis, just a few miles north of Memphis. We have a congregation of people that are scattered over two counties. Only a very small church, but they're scattered out very far. People who are hurting have recognized there is something, some help, and it is found in deliverance, and they come from near and far. I get calls from Chicago, Virginia, North Carolina, and of course the immediate states around Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, and Tennessee. There's just not enough deliverance workers. Do you believe the Word of God? Are you walking in the Word of God? Mark 7:16-17 says, "And these signs shall follow the believer. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." Are you still walking in the Word of God? We found that we wanted a good, clean, healing ministry when we started in the ministry. Oh, it's so nice. Raised in a Baptist church, got tampered with, came out speaking in tongues, and saw God move in a mighty way. And we wanted that kind of ministry. And God had something else lined up for us. And He began to show us deliverance. And we tried every way we could go. We went places. We called in speakers. We did everything we could to find out how do you do deliverance. We want a textbook, a good textbook that will lay down how do you minister deliverance. Got it. This is it. This is the only one. You do it just like the Lord said. Now, He might tell you different the next time you start at it than He did on the last one you worked with. I'm not going to take up time. Mildred's going to teach this morning. My wife is a teacher. We co-pastor a church. She's a pastor also. It might mess with your theology a little bit, but you ask the Lord to share that part with you. He called her. I don't have any doubt in my mind. And I've seen the ministry come forth, and I'm not lifting Mildred. I'm lifting my Lord up this morning. He knows how to do it. He knows exactly how to do it. I'll read you a scripture before I leave this morning. Psalms 19, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where thy voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. Put right there. The word has gone out. There has a ministry started in Memphis. We're 20 miles from Memphis. But there is a ministry started there, a street ministry, a mission to pick up men off of the street. Right at the moment, they have 45. No, it's added. This week, I think they've got between 45 and 65. I couldn't count them. There's more. There's probably 20 more than there were last time. They brought them to our church several weeks ago in a bus. Our church is so small we didn't have room for them, so they brought their own chairs and the bus. They've been back the second time, and then they asked us if we would come minister in their church. They have rented a church. It's a house, though. Well, it was a commercial building to start with, but they made dormitories. Now they have rented a church. It's across town, but they bust the men across town every day. They come in, and you've never seen such love. I'm talking about murderers, thieves, robbers, dope addicts, drunkards. And when we walk into the church to minister, my wife ministers two mornings a week, and I minister one night a week. When we come in, they've got their hands raised, praying and praising the Lord. Have you ever seen a bunch of drunks praising the Lord before? You see, these are men that the world has said they're castaways. I want you to know God's at work. I'm telling you this today, that God is at work. And He is moving in the land today. He is out touching. These are God's special people. These men can turn the whole city of Memphis around. There is enough men there to turn that whole city. She's been invited to go to Jamaica this fall in a tent ministry with them. They're going to take Jamaica. There's a man already offered to put them up a radio station so they can get Cuba and Jamaica, from Jamaica. And there's a lot of other things that are going on that the Lord is speaking to them about. Someone spoke last night and said, how many people are coming to the Lord in other nations? You have a ministry in your own hometown. It is a wide open mission field. You want to be used of the Lord? I heard we prayed and we asked people about that, or somebody asked this morning. You want to be used of the Lord? The greatest ministry we found out was a ministry of deliverance. God supplies all of your needs when you're in deliverance. You want close to God? Get in deliverance. You have to listen to Him. There's no textbook to go by, so you got to listen to God. And as you listen to Him, you have that closeness, that oneness with God, the Father. He directs you. We sang a song here. I wanted to talk about that word, one line of that song that we sang, "Oh, rejoice in the Lord." We're in deliverance. He says, "Out of Zion shall come a deliverance." I want you to know, out of Zion has come the deliverer. Now, He shall come in you, but He has already come. Deliverance is available for every person who will submit themselves under the Word of God. And God does use unfit vessels, truly. That is, vessels that are not perfect. Put it that way, I would rather use that time. Imperfect vessels. There's no perfect ones yet that I know of. But He wants you cleaned up. If I don't shut up, I'll start preaching to you another whole sermon. So, Mildred, come share with them what you have this morning. I just want you to know deliverance is real, and we're deliverance teachers somewhere.
I prayed for years for God to put workers in deliverance that would care and would want to help people get free. And, you know, Brother Tommy said last night in his sermon that God deliver you as you're able to possess your land little by little. Most people want to come in and get fixed. My son has a saying of saying a quick fix and leave, and or band-aid on it. But these men that the Lord has opened doors for me to teach, and see, this is totally unscriptural. A woman teaching men, and they're all men. Well, I have a couple of ladies, three ladies that's coming. We're hoping before we get through that the wives will come with these men. Yesterday they began to come to me and ask me about their wives. And the Lord told me that not to let the wives come just yet because the men wouldn't be free to minister. See, I'm teaching them how to do deliverance. I'm not going to do it. They're going to do it. And they wanted me to show them. I teach them the word, and then I always have mass deliverance. And you should have been there yesterday. It was, I told a remark to someone, it was like popcorn popping. It was popping here and popping there. You know, everything just seemed so quiet, and then all of a sudden it begins to come forth. But they are going to learn. There are a few. I don't know how many of them will stick with it. Not only the Lord knows that. But there are some that are going to stay in there, and they're going to minister deliverance to others. And he was talking about this trip to Jamaica. They're going to take 20 of these men with them. But in the meantime, I'm teaching them how to do deliverance so they can go over there and minister deliverance. So isn't it great? But how many men do you know that's really in deliverance, that really want to get into deliverance? And I'm not putting you down, but God blesses me. I watch him, and he does deliverance from the time he gets here till he leaves. He's never too tired, never, it's never too long, and he's there working. And that's the ministry of ministering to God's people, helping them be free.
Yes.
Too many people won't to be up front and be big. And deliverance, you're not going to be big. In fact, you know, the Lord knows how to deal with us and how to work with us. But if you love people and want to, when you see hurting people and see that they're so bound and in so much misery, you want to help them. I had a young man, it looks like he's about, you know, I don't even know these people's names. I can't remember, there's so many of them. But this young man came to me and he said, you know why I'm here? And I said, no, because I don't ask. They tell me I listen. He said, I tried to kill myself. He said, unless I get free from this thing, I will destroy myself. And so he came to get delivered from, he didn't know when he came that we were going to be in deliverance because we just started teaching him deliverance 2 weeks ago. But he is so excited because he knows there's hope for him. And so I just pray the Lord for the opportunity, and I'm just sharing this with you because I'm so excited what God's doing in men, in the men. And they're already beginning to wonder about their wives, how their wives will accept this and walk in it. This morning I'm going to share with you some on rejection, spirit of rejection. If you will, open your Bibles this morning to Isaiah 54. Rejection is a spirit that I think probably everyone has. We pick up many spirits of rejection through our lifetime, but lots of people, I've run into this so many times in deliverance, that rejection comes in when a person is conceived in the womb many times. And of course that could be a curse handed down of rejection from the sins of the fathers. But lots of times after the baby is conceived, then the individuals, the mother maybe just didn't want a baby right then. Or maybe the father says, you know, we've already got enough mouths to feed. I'm ministering to a lady right now that has a spirit of rejection on her that came in because she was a girl and not a boy. Her father wanted a boy. And her mother rejected her. And it's a monster. It's been in her all her life. She's 38 years old. Now, we've ministered deliverance to her from lots of spirits of rejection. You know, when you get hurt, you get feelings hurt, you feel rejected. Well, sometimes you pick up a little spirit of rejection. But these monsters that, and I call them monsters because they're embedded, and a lot of times they're hidden, and people don't really know that they're in there. And we've uncovered this thing in her, and he told me, when I asked him, somebody asked me yesterday, do you let demons talk? Only I let them talk when I need to hear how they got in. Because a lot of times you can't get them out until you find out how they got in. So I asked this thing how he came into her. I manifested this thing on her. Hadn't got him out yet, but he's going to go. I just discovered him. And I asked him how he came in, and he told me that he came in because they wanted a boy. She was the second child. The first child was a girl. And then here she comes along and she's a girl and they wanted a boy. They love her. But yet that spirit of rejection was there and it came in when she was born because she was not the right sex. So the spirit of rejection come in lots of ways. And so I'll share some with you this morning about how they come in and how they work in us. And then what the Word says about how we can overcome them and who we are in Christ Jesus, because we are not rejected in God. God has accepted us in the Beloved. So in Isaiah in the 54th chapter in verse 1, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud that thou did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. And we know that the Lord is talking here about Israel, but who are we? Are the spiritual Israel, and this is who God is talking to, and he's telling us that no matter how it looks to us, as we read on, I've got another verse I'm going to read you. He's telling us that he's accepted us, and we're, even though we seem to be barren, if when we get free from this spirit that is binding us, then we can bring forth fruit. A lot of times we're so fearful, we're afraid to reach out to people. I watch people. I sometimes don't remember faces, but I watch people. And I see they're afraid to reach out because they're afraid that people will reject them, because this spirit of rejection is within them, and they don't want to be hurt, and they build a wall up, and they crawl behind that wall, and they hide behind the wall. But God says here, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thine husband, thy Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord is called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith God. You see, God's saying to us that we're not to be afraid. Many people are so rejected by, they're rejected, women are rejected by their husbands, husbands are rejected by their wives. I minister much to women. Jim ministers to the men in our church, and I minister to the women. And many of them are under spirits of rejection from their husbands. One lady called me yesterday, I talked to one yesterday morning before I left, and she said, my husband just doesn't understand. She said, he has his work, he's there all day at his work, and she homeschools her children, and she's teaching them home, and she says, I'm with the children all day, and when he comes in, and if I say to him, let's put the children to bed early so we can have some time, he thinks I don't love the kids. He doesn't realize that I need time with him. And so when he says that, she feels rejected. He's rejecting her. She says, why does he, we always have to have the children there. Why can't I have some time with him? This rejection is so strong from women that their husbands don't have time for them. And women reject their husbands, and that spirit of rejection is on a husband when women put everything before the husband. And it causes problems in the home. They don't walk in unity, and they can't give or receive love. Did you know that a spirit of rejection can stop you from giving or receiving love? If you have a spirit of rejection on you, it's really hard, and I don't even know if you can at all know love. Feel it. You can voice it with your mouth. Someone can put their arms around you and hug you, but there's something in you that will tell you they don't love you. And so you can't receive it, and if you can't receive love, you really can't get it. You mouth the word, you say the words, but you can't really get it because you have never experienced it. And because of rejection within you, it's hard to believe that God loves you. I mentioned to another lady in our church, I have to teach what I know. I'm not smart. Only what God gives me. And I teach what I know. And I mentioned this other lady in our church that has a lot of problems. And she has a spirit in her that, I'll be honest with you, I worked with her for 4 years and I don't know how to get it out. You say, you don't? You're in deliverance? I don't know everything. I don't know anything when it comes to this life. I just keep saying, Lord, why don't you go? Your word says he's got to go. And everybody says, well, he's just got to go. And I think, well, come throw it out for me. I'd love for you to do it. But she told me, she comes to me and she says, this thing talks to her. And he tells her, God doesn't love you. You can't even be saved. If God loved you, he'd get me out. Now, she got a demon telling her this. And she's so tormented. When she came to us and she first came to us, we ministered March 11th to her. When she first came to us, she would sit in the church and she'd hit her head like this because the thing would be talking to her so loud that she'd sit and hit her head. And she couldn't even go into the bathroom by herself. She was afraid. She's 30 years old. But she told me, she said, this thing tells me that God doesn't love me. See? He tells me that if God loved me, that I would have to go. So rejection, and I don't know who this thing is. I know who he tells me he is. He tells me he's the great Apollyon, whoever that is. But anyway, that's what he tells me. See, rejection in you, working in you, will not let you feel God's love. You know, we don't go by feelings. We'll go by what the Word God says. But God didn't say we couldn't have feelings. And I have another lady, I told the work with ladies, this other lady, said she has never, she's 55 years old, and she has never experienced God's love until we begin to get rejection off of her. And all of a sudden she begins to see, she hears from the Lord, he talks to her. And it is so predominant. I had a lady tell me this morning that Jim and I were teaching basics. I said, it's time we get back to basics because we sometimes forget the things we learn in deliverance. And we go on, think we're going on further, and really we're just kind of spinning our wheels because we have to go back to the beginning and start all over again. But this spirit of rejection in people, in you and I, tries its best to separate us from the Lord. It separates us from our family. It won't let us love our family like we should. Over in Proverbs, and just to show you how rejection works, in Proverbs, in the 18th chapter of Proverbs, in verse 14, says, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? You know, wounds in the spirit are deep and hidden. We've always taught when we got saved that we know this word says our spirit is sealed until the day of redemption. And you can kick what I'm going to say out, or you can ask the Lord to reveal it to you, because the Lord revealed it to me this way. We were told that the enemy couldn't touch the spirit because it's sealed until the day of redemption. But if you'll read Proverbs, all through Proverbs, it talks about the wounded spirit. Well, who's wounded in that spirit? See? And this is what this says here, that a spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? And so there's wounds so deep within our spirit that hasn't been taken care of, hasn't been healed, and hadn't been ministered to, that our minds deny they're even there. There's a spirit of denial that keeps people from getting free from so much. Amen. That it sits there and see, this is why I've been blessed, so to speak, men in deliverance, because I always sit and when I'm teaching in the church, I see the men sitting there saying, my wife's got demons, but I don't have any. I wish she'd get her delivered. I mean, that's literally what I say. And they know they've got them, but they, you know, I can control mine. Well, that's still a spirit of control. It's controlling them. So, but there's spirit, the wound in the spirit and the rejection that's hidden in people will not let them receive it. It's so deep embedded. There's hurts that you've gone through. There's wounds that you have received that your mind cannot receive it. It will block it out. And some of you that are in the ministry of deliverance, have you ever ministered to someone that they don't remember their childhood, they don't remember anything about their past, that they have been hurt so bad that they totally block it out and they do not know what happened to them? And you have to go in and minister to them, and you start off ministering to whatever they come to you for, and maybe just, you know, a little bit of anything, nothing, you know, just, they never tell you what the real problem is. You just sit there and you pray and God shows it to you. And then you begin to uncover, and you get down and you find where that root problem is. And as you begin to throw those things out of them, I've watched people's memories be opened. And then they begin to see. I was mentioned to a lady one day. She had blocked all this out that had happened to her when she was 4 years old. And she began to cry, and she says, "I'm not going to believe this. I just don't believe this happened to me." And so she kicked it back again. She would not accept it. And 2 years later, we were ministering deliverance to her again. We'd been ministering to her all along those 2 years. But 2 years later, we were ministering to her again, and the Lord opened the door. And he spoke to her, and he says, "You close the door this time. I'm not going to open it again." And he let her see, and then God delivered her. But it had happened to her as a child, and it was so painful and so bad that she had totally blocked it out of her mind, unless she could grow, could live. But all kinds of things have happened to her in her lifetime. All kinds of things. She was addicted to drugs when she came to us. That was how we got her. And the drugs were not the problem. They were just symptoms, manifestations of her problem. And so many times we're ministering to the problems and the manifestation instead of the real problem that the person's got. And we need to get in there and dig those things out and find out why these things are happening. And I'll tell you one thing that I have learned in deliverance, that 9 out of 10 people that I minister to, that the problem goes back to childhood when they were abused. Spiritually, physically, or sexually. One of the three ways. And it was so bad that it hurt them so bad that they blocked it out. And from that, they could never receive love. They felt rejected because this happened to them. And the first thing that they say to me when they begin to remember is, "Why did God let this happen to me?" They blame God for it. And so then you have to deal with them, and you have to teach them, and you have to show them what the Word says about it. So God says there's wounds in your spirit that we haven't and have happened to us. I don't say everybody's got the wounds here. Maybe you've already taken care of all this. If you can remember all these things and things that happened to you as a child, you can ask God to forgive the person that hurt you, and you can get healing for it. But if it was so painful that you blocked it out, you can't forgive the person that did it to you because you've blocked it out of your memory. And I'm telling you, a blanket of "God, you, I forgive everybody that's ever hurt me" doesn't work in deliverance. And I'll tell you why. Because demonic forces know the Word better than you do. Demons know the Word better than you do, and they'll use the Word against you, and they'll tell you. I've had them tell me when I was ministering, throwing a demon out of some kind, well, I don't have to go because she has not forgiven the person that hurt her and let me come in. So you bring them back and tell them they need to forgive. And when they forgive, you take away the legal hold and the spirit has to go. So wounds of the spirit, wounds of rejection. While I'm talking this morning, while I'm speaking on rejection, the Lord is going to show you things in your life that you have just covered up and never asked God to forgive. And you've never forgiven the person that hurt you. And as he shows you, if you will ask the Lord to forgive them, and if you have trouble forgiving, and I have people tell me, "I can't forgive. You don't know what they've done to me. I cannot." See, Jesus forgave you everything. You have no right to hold unforgiveness against anyone. So, as he shows it to you, you forgive that individual. You're not only free them, but you're free yourself.
Amen.
Okay? Okay, let's go to 1 John in the fourth chapter. In our church, I'm always going one scripture after another, sharing. I was thinking about Brother Tommy. I love his teaching, but he goes so fast I have trouble keeping up with him. I can't get my scriptures written down fast enough. But I love it, and then I've learned to put the reference down first, then I'll look it up later. But I just love it. Over in 1 John, I want you to look at this in the fourth chapter. I want you to look at what the Word says about love. You see, God wants us to love. And we say, well, we love. But with all this stuff within us, we're only loving with mouth, lip service, not from the heart. And this is what God is wanting us to do. We say, well, we love God. But God's Word says here in verse 18, verse 17. It says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." You see, this fear comes into us, and we can't love someone because we're afraid they'll hurt us. We have been hurt so much, and this old rejection within us will bring more and more rejection. It'll cause people to reject you. It'll make you believe that they don't want to accept you. And then as you walk away, you know, afraid to reach out. Well, then the people you're trying to reach out to think, well, they just don't want to have anything to do with me. And so they really do reject you simply because this thing within works. It works both ways. And it causes us to walk in a way that God says we're not to do it. He says, we say we love Him. Well, how can we love God if we don't love the people around us? And God wants us to love one another. And He says, if we'll get rid of all this stuff that's within us, hidden within us, then we can love the way He wants us to. And the Word says they'll know we belong to Him because of our love. Well, let me ask you something. Do you really see that kind of love today? He said, well, you know, if somebody gets sick in our church, we run and we minister to them, we help. But a lot of times I even see people do this and I hear words from them. Well, you know, it's always somebody sick and I'm always having to do this or do that. And that's not real love because we're griping about it. And if we're really in love with Jesus the way He wants us to be, and He wants us to be in love with our fellow man the same way because they're part of the body of Christ. I'm going to give you a scripture if I have time that tells you that we are His body. And when one hurts, we all hurt. So we have to be aware of what's keeping us from loving, being able to receive the love people want to give us, and that stops us from giving the love back. You know, it's hard to keep, you've got to keep your relationship right between you and God. But it's also got to be right between you and your brother. Mm-hmm. Because if it's not, you don't get your prayers answered. Okay? You know, Brother Jack last night quoted the whole chapter of Isaiah 53. It blessed me. I wish I could do that. I can't do that, but I wish I could. But it blessed me because the Lord had shown me, we know that in Isaiah 53, that's my next scripture if you want to follow me, that Jesus was rejected. He took our rejection upon the cross. We do not have to bear it. In Isaiah 53, the third verse, he says, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Jesus bore upon the cross our rejection. He took everything that's ever come our way upon the cross. And it was explained so beautifully last night about the bruises and the wounds and all that He went through. So you and I don't have any of this. And if you're lugging this stuff around, shame on you. I hear people, when you mention deliverance, they get real upset. You know, they don't know anything about it, so they get upset. And they really, it's because they don't know anything about it. If they would just say, Lord, if this be in me, they don't even have to say, Lord, this is in me. But if this be in me, I want to be free from it. God would free them. He would show them. He would reveal it to them so they could get free from it. So look when you are looking at this rejection that's working on you, that's working on, maybe you don't walk in this. Maybe you do not. Maybe you're one of the ones out of 10 that do not. But maybe you know someone that's hurting, that you've tried to help and you can't reach out to them. You know, I watch the spirit of rejection on people. Rejection works and opens the doors for lots of spirits. Lord taught it to me this way when I first got into deliverance. This spirit of rejection will come in, as I said, in the womb or when your first child is born. And it's there, and it opens the door. Well, all through the life, this child is wanting love from the mother and the father. And they're loving that child, but they cannot feel that love because the spirit of rejection is there. And so, rejection leads to resentment. And the Lord was showing it to me this way. He said, the kids will say to themselves, why don't they love me?
Why does my mother love my brother or my sister more than he loves me? They love me. And so they'll get into resentment. They'll open the door for resentment to come in, and they'll begin to resent. And they'll resent the brother and sister because it looks like that all the attention's been put on them, and this spirit of rejection's telling them, see, they don't love you. Look what they're doing here. Look what they're doing for that one. And so resentment comes in, and they begin to resent brothers and sisters, and that causes separation. See, it causes separation between children, jealousy. But then, after the resentment comes in, after a while, the resentment gets so strong, it opens the door for hatred. And they begin to hate the child, the sister or the brother. And then hatred will open the door for rebellion. Well, I've done everything I know, and they still don't love me, so I'll just do my own thing, and I'll show them. And that is exactly the way the Lord has shown it to me. And to prove my point, I thought it was so good of the Lord. One day my son, who is 40-something years old, about 46, came home, and the Lord brought him back to us to get him saved, and he got saved and filled with Spirit and all this. And we ministered to him, kept him home for 9 months and put the Word in him. But he told me while he was sitting in the house one day, and he said, Mother, he said, you know what happened to me? And I said, no, I don't. He said, I decided one day that I was not going to believe the Word anymore. He said, I can tell you this, the day. He said, I was reading 1 John in the Presbyterian Church. And he said, he's sitting in Sunday school. And said he said, he's closed his Bible. He said, I'm not going to read that anymore. Junk. He said, I rebelled against the Word of God. And he went for years. Would have nothing to do with the Lord. Wouldn't hardly come around us. Very, very seldom come around us because he called us religious nuts. That's what he called us. But he opened the door for rebellion to come in, and it had come in through rejection. When he was younger, the rejection had come in, and it almost destroyed him. But I praise God that God's got him in the ministry now. He's an ordained minister, and he's in the ministry, and I praise the Lord for it. But you see, these spirits, if they're not dealt with, and we wonder why the kids today are like they are, why they're trying drugs, why they're trying alcohol and sex and everything else, because so many of them were born so fast the parents, some way or another, loose the rejection on them, if not by the curse. The kids felt rejected. They didn't, and the parents were too busy making a living to give them the things they wanted their kids to have, that the children became rejected, and then they got in rebellion, and now the enemy's trying to steal them all from us and done a good job so far. He's trying to destroy our kids. And I say this to the mothers and fathers here in this building today. If you've got kids that are in rebellion, you need to work on rejection on those kids. And you need to minister deliverance to your own children.
Amen.
I am so sick and tired of seeing people that let their children go. I'm fussing at you all, but I'll tell you why I'm fussing. I fuss at them in our church. They let their kids go. You would think in a deliverance church that would be the first people that they would deliver. But they won't do it. They want to bring them down and let us do it. And we can't deliver everybody. They know how. They're lazy. And they don't want to deliver their own children. And God says, your children are your responsibility. And you need, if they're in rebellion, you need to minister deliverance to them. You know what? I've never seen a demon yet that wanted to come out. I had a lady tell me, no, they don't come out. I had a lady tell me, she said, well, I can't minister deliverance to him. He don't want me to. I said, well, you make him go to school, and he doesn't want to go. I said, sit him down there. If I had to sit on him, and I'd minister deliverance to him, I would. Because Scripture tells us that we have authority over our kids, and God wants us to deliver our children. I think it's a crying shame when people are out trying to deliver the world when their own kids are going to hell.
Amen.
And God says, let's get in there and let's work with our children. Let's, they're hurting. The devil's trying to tell our kids that God isn't real and that he doesn't work. It doesn't work for them. Simply because we're so busy, we don't reach out to our own kids. But Jesus bore the rejection on the cross, and so therefore we don't have to be rejected. He said, over in Matthew, you know, the things that happened to Jesus on the cross, when he was punished for our sins, that we might be forgiven. He was wounded for our sicknesses, that we might be healed. You know, we're so full of unbelief. I preached a sermon one time on unbelieving Christians. unbelieving believers. I believe that's what I titled it. Because everyone says, you know, I'm a believer. We don't believe the Word of God. We do not believe it. If we really believed it, we'd walk in what it says. We'd walk in the power and authority God has given us. We'd walk in this Word. It works. It works. This Word is true and it works. Jesus did everything on the cross for you and I. He was so rejected on the cross that even God turned his back on him. You remember when Matthew 27? You're talking about while we walking under this stuff when he did it all for us. He did it all for you and I. In Matthew 27, when he hung on the cross, and in verse 46, he said, "Now about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" See, God, when Jesus took all this upon himself, God couldn't look at sin. He was covered with our sins. He was covered with our hurts and our pains and our defeats and our everything, rejection, all the things that we feel. Everything you and I have gone through, Jesus took it on the cross. And when he was covered with our sin, then God can't look at sin. When God sees you and I, he sees us as perfected. He sees us through the shed blood of Jesus, washed in the blood. We're blood bought. We're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And we're letting this garbage stay in our houses, in our temple. This is where God lives. And all this stuff that's in there that we're not getting rid of, you're here because you want to get rid of it. Or do you really? Do you really? And the reason I asked that, I was sharing with those men yesterday morning. I taught on soul ties yesterday morning on how their soul is fragmented. And they've been and they're in bondage because of control that comes in through having soul ties with other people and other things. So I taught on soul ties. And when I got through, I was breaking soul ties and asking the Father to restore the soul. I shared with them how God had shown me about soul ties and how he showed me like a piece of pie, my soul like a piece of pie. And as I would break soul ties, I'd see a piece of that pie come back in, you know, when you take a piece out. Well, this was as a piece of pie would come back in, and he was showing it to me. So I was sharing this with them, and I asked them, I said, "Do you all really want to be delivered? Let me tell you something. God won't separate you from your friends. If you've got you've got things in you, and they're demons, I don't care what you call them. If you got a spirit guide that came with you, and I'm dealing with some people that have these things, and a familiar spirit. Last time I was here, Doc called a familiar spirit. I had just taught that, and I was blessed because I'm dealing with a woman that's got a familiar spirit, and we're working with her. But unless she wants to get rid of it, we can't do anything about it. God will not separate you from your friends. You're afraid to let all this hang out and get rid of it. And this is what I told those men. They were sitting there on Tuesday when I was there, and I don't remember what I ministered on, because I minister a lot of times and I forget. But they sat there, we're doing mass deliverance. Just dare you to move something out of me. So when I started yesterday, I said, let me tell you something. You sit here, and if I'm calling off a homosexual spirit, and you're afraid, and you got one on you, and I'm not saying you're a homosexual, but I said it can come down through the bloodline, you know, sins of the fathers, and you're under a curse, and if there's one there, wants out, and you're sitting there because you're afraid, they'll think people around you thinking you're a homosexual. Well, we're not going to get it off. And I said, if you want deliverance from everything in you, and I said, you may have one that may be the very reason you're on drugs. It may be that thing that's driving you, and it's got you taking drugs. And I said, if you're so ashamed, and you're so proud that you don't want anybody to know that thing might be on you, then you're going to sit there and dare that thing to manifest. I said, it's not going to do it. I said, if you want deliverance bad enough that you don't care if you're in the floor and your head's buried in the garbage can, and you're up chucking, and you don't care what your neighbor's saying if they're too proud to get it, I said, let them alone. Don't care what they think. If you want deliverance, you say, God, here I am. I want it out, everything. Amen. And I want you to know we had deliverance yesterday. We had deliverance. But you've got to want it out. You've got to hate things that are in you just like God does and call it what God calls it. It's not a problem. It's not a... We call them all kinds of things. You know, I told those men yesterday I'd been calling them spirits, and I said, these are demons I'm talking about. I'm not going to call these spirits anymore because you may think I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. You know? I mean, you don't know what they're thinking when you're, what the enemy tries to make a person think while you're sharing. And I've dealt with many spirits of mockery. They sit there and they laugh at the Word of God. They mock the Word of God. They sit there laughing. And Tuesday, this young man was sitting on the front row, and he sat there, and he was a little grin on his face, and I knew what it was. Listen, I know mockery the minute I see it. You do, too. And when I started in messages, he got up and moved, and he disappeared. I didn't know where he went to, because I knew he was, you know, ready to get some deliverance. And he got up and he went to the back of the church trying to hide. And one of the fellows saw him and came and said, "Miss Coffee, that spirit of mockery is back there laughing and says, you won't minister to it." So we went back there and I put my hand on him and I said, "Son, are you, do you want some deliverance?" "Oh, I don't have any demons." He said, I'm just here to hear the word. I said, "Okay." I thought, well, I'm not going to mess with him. He's not ready. So yesterday, exploded. It was beautiful because the Lord dealt with him. The Lord dealt with him like this. That thing manifested in him, and he was so tormented. He was in pain. It put pain on him, and he was begging somebody to get that thing off of him. He was literally, and when we got through, he says, "I want y'all to know deliverance is real. Demons are real." It was so funny. But I praise the Lord because it helped some of the unbelievers. We had another little boy sitting over there. He was a new one. Every time I go, I have at least five or six new ones because they go out every day and on the street witnessing and preaching and sharing Jesus. They're sharing Jesus one-on-one, and if they find somebody, they bring him in. And so we've got new ones in there. And so this little guy was sitting over there, and he was totally manifested. And my son took him back to the office. He was there yesterday, and he took him back to the office. So we was getting ready to leave, and he said, "Mom, we've got one more back here." And I said, "Son, you deal with him. We got to go." Because my son knows. Tell them, if you want to keep your friends, you can. God will let you. But you're here, and this is a place of deliverance. And, man, I preach this everywhere as I go. They preach deliverance. They go and get it. If you don't want to come to us, go. I'm going to send them to Glenn and Irma. All that I know. Because a lot of times people around you don't come to you. They're afraid they'll get the name of dealing with where demons are. I shared this with you, in our church, we're in a storefront building, and there's a real estate office right next to us, and it's an empty building between us and them, and usually they're not there when we're in church, and sometimes it gets a little loud in our church, especially when all these men come in and they're getting ministered to, and so just recently I got the report that we've been called the Third World Church, and I really don't know what that means, but there was a lady in the real estate building that heard all the noise that was going on in our church, and she says, "I got scared, and I left." She was telling it to the sister of a lady that goes to our church, only she didn't know the girl's sister came to our church, and so Betty told her, said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing, they're of the Lord," and she says, "They are." But I don't know what she heard, because they're usually not there, but that's all right. Praise the Lord. But I want you to know, God's Word says that we're accepted. Rejection may be working on you, but you need to work on rejection and tell him that you're accepted in the Beloved. Over in Ephesians, in the first chapter of Ephesians, it says, Paul says in verse 6, verse 4, said, "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved." Isn't that great? We're accepted. God accepts us just like we are. You see, if you never get free from the things in you, God still loves us. And he's not going to make us get deliverance. He accepted me when I came to him, old, mean, ugly, wicked me, just like I was, and received, and Jesus came into my heart and life. I remember that day that it was like God was saying to me, and he did say this to me. He said, "If you were the only person in this world," he said, "I loved you." He said, "I sent my son to die on the cross for you." See, God accepted me just like I was. And he came in and he saved me. He changed me. He turned me around. Had a prophecy yesterday morning over when we was getting ready to leave. And I thought, "Lord, this man said God's going to change our direction 380 degrees. And I thought, "Lord, where are you going to send us? I don't know where he's going to send us. He put us in deliverance when Jim and I kicked and screamed all the way because we lost us, and we went into a church. We had a big church. Well, big for a little country church. And we wasn't in too long when we got into deliverance, and all of a sudden, we had lots of room in our church, a lot of empty seats. They sure did. Praise the Lord. But you see, God accepts us just like we are. And He won't make you get free from these things. He'll let them live with you till you die. See, they won't stand a dead body when you die. You'll get totally delivered. And we're talking about people perfect. I think that the only time we see anybody perfect is after they've died and gone to be with the Lord. Because I don't think there's never been but one perfect person, and that was Jesus. And I see people saying, well, I want totally delivered. Man, I do too. But I'm afraid if I was totally delivered, He'd take me right on home, in which that'd be okay. Because I don't believe we could live in this world, because Jesus said you're in the world, and as you walk in the world, you're going to have your feet washed. You're going to have to get that dirt off that you pick up as you walk in this world. So we've been accepted by Him. And I touched on this just a few minutes ago, but let's go to Mark 11, and let's really see how we get delivered. I think Glenn and Irma are going to teach on deliverance this afternoon and then do mass deliverance. And we're going to have deliverance at 1. The ladies are upstairs and the men here. Let me tell you something. If you'll start now, really start now, letting the Lord do a work, forgiving, when deliverance starts, you'll get much deliverance. You begin to prepare. And you prepare by forgiveness. In Matthew, in the 11th chapter, when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, I learned, Mark 22, 23, and 24, but they didn't do a whole lot of teaching on 25 and 26. And I realized 22 and 23 and 24 won't work without 25 and 26. It will not. Because if you're in unforgiveness, you just might as well forget asking God for anything. He says, and when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So God says that if we don't forgive, He can't forgive us. And Scripture, there's another Scripture that says if we don't forgive, He'll turn us over to the tormentors. You see, unforgiveness against people binds those people where God can't really work in them, like if we are holding them and we're just zeroing in on them. But really and truly, unforgiveness hurts you more than it does another person. If you've got unforgiveness against someone else, it's you that's being destroyed. I believe unforgiveness and like this rejection and rebellion and bitterness, I teach on bitterness, that I believe it's the root of so many problems, physical problems in people. Unforgiveness, well, I have a right to hold on to it, and I'm not going to forgive them. I don't care what you say. And God says, if you don't forgive, then you'll be turned over to the tormentors. And who are the tormentors? Demons. You open the door for the enemy to come in and to just have a field day with you. Arthritis, cancer, heart problems, every kind of problem under the sun, and I believe they stem from the forces within us, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the hatred. If we walk in love and walk in God's Word, I believe we can walk in healing. I don't believe God wants us to walk in healing. I know He wants us to walk in health. He doesn't want us sick. But, oh, I see so many of God's people sick. And I say, Lord, why? See, that's how I got in deliverance. I asked, Lord, why? He told me. Said it's, they got problems they need to get rid of. Because I was seeing people get prayed for and they weren't getting healed, and I wanted to know why. So we must forgive. And I find lots of times when you've walked under these kind of problems that you can't forgive yourself. You even reject yourself. Well, I must really be what they say I am because nobody loves me, so I can't love myself. You see, God made us, and He made us in His image. So if we're rejecting ourselves, we're rejecting God's image. And we're saying God didn't do a good job. And my God don't make any junk. You see, we must forgive. And we must walk in what He tells us to walk in love and in forgiveness. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 6. I shared this not too long ago in our church. And that's the reason I'm telling you, I'm stirring up some spirits in you today. You may think this little woman up there is not doing much. But I'll tell you something. I stirred up some spirits in my church that I 2-3 weeks ago, and I got a call before I left that a monster got loose because I didn't go and cast them out when I stirred them up. I just said, well, we'll do deliverance tonight. And I don't think he came back that night and didn't get it out. But what we're stirring up this morning, if you'll work on it, we'll get these out when we have mass deliverance. So, but I use this scripture in Ephesians in the area of where we hold, we're rejected from our parents, and we haven't forgiven them. Many, many, many people will not forgive their parents. I say, well, you don't know how they treated me. Doesn't matter. Let me read this to you. Ephesians 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God says that we're to obey them. This is for the children to obey you. And if your children are not obeying you, God's going to take you to the woodshed. Because he tells you that you are responsible for your kids. Amen. When I go into deliverance, I tell the demons that I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, and they are bound to my authority, and they have to obey. So I'm telling the spirits within you, he wants me to do this, I'm doing it. I'm telling the spirits in you that today that we're seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven, and they have no right to stay there, and they have to go, and they must leave in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Only authority you have comes from the throne of God. It's from Jesus Christ seated at the right hand. And we're seated in him, and he's seated far above principalities and powers and rulers and kings and thrones and dominions. And everything that has a name will bow their knees to the Lord Jesus Christ. They will bow. They will bow. And that's why I say, for this thing, it tells me, well, I'm still here, ain't I? And that's what he says to me. I want to hit the woman. It just was amazing. I've done so much. I have worked with this thing for so long. And I keep saying, Lord, I don't understand. Because that thing has to go. Why is it still there? And I don't know. I have asked everybody. I went to Win Hurley. We went to Win Hurley and talked to him. We went to different people and said, help us. We want to get rid of this thing. We hate it. We want it out. And they don't really know either. They tell us different things. And we just don't know. The Lord has. I told Jim. I said, "Yeah, the Lord shows me when I pray. He shows me and gives me answers." And for some reason or other, I have a block with this woman. I don't know. I haven't heard from the Lord on it. I haven't. He hasn't told me why the thing's still there. So pray with me that the Lord will show me. I'm sick of that thing. I won't let him talk anymore. I won't let him say anything. He likes to come against people. We didn't want him to talk to begin with, and sometimes the only way we can keep him from talking, you say, well, bind him is to put our hand over my hand over the woman's mouth and say, you're not saying anything. Yes, demon, you just might as well shut up. And for the last 2 months, we've done mass deliverance, and she's gotten lots of deliverance. So I still got to go back and attack that thing. But God's Word says that the children are to obey the parents, and he says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We were taught to honor our fathers and mothers. If you didn't honor them, you got your seat warm real good or taken to the woodshed. But today, I hear children being very disrespectful to their parents. And this does something to the parents as well as to the child. And so we've got to obey this word in the area. I sometimes think that our kids will try you to just see how far you'll let them go. And if you really love that child, and that child is going to say, well, if you really love me, you wouldn't let me do this. And so you see, this is another area where rejection works here. He said, that it may be well with you, with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth, and ye fathers provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the scripture I wanted there was that last verse to show you that many times fathers have provoked their children and gotten them so angry without sitting down and explaining. See, the father may be tired and whatever, and just doesn't have the time to, won't take time to deal with the children. And they make the child so angry that the child will get in rebellion. Of course, the rejection's already working because father hadn't sat down and talked to him. There's no communication. And so there's a two-way street. We say, now, you kids are going to respect and honor your mother. But the scripture goes on and says, don't you provoke your child to wrath. Well, he may get a little mad at you when you want him to see his pants, but you tell him you're doing it because you love him. And then you explain to him that you just don't do this. You set him down. We got Irma's book. Or was it Irma that wrote the book on Valentine's Day? I've got the book back here on Valentine's Day. And my grandchildren are walking in deliverance. We've got three that do. The rest of them, though, we have nine. But we got this Valentine book on what the heart and what it means, and we taught it and we shared it. And so my daughter-in-law was teaching it to her children. And she told me the other day, she said, we had some friends, some people come over to the house, and the little girl had on a pair of shorts. Alexander was five, and the little girl that came in was five or six, and she had on some shorts, had a heart on them. Adrian said to her, you shouldn't be wearing those hearts. She says, why? She says, they're bad. Now, she's 5 years old. She says, why are they bad? She says, I don't know, but you shouldn't be wearing them. So, you see, her mother has been explaining to her. She hasn't gotten through to her about what it stands for. She doesn't understand yet. She's too small, but she's teaching her. She takes the time to teach. She also is homeschooling them. She got them out of the public. She don't want them in the public school because of what they pick up there. And see, this is something that we need to... What they're teaching is right. But the thing is that God says that we're to teach our children, and we're not to provoke them to wrath, but we're not to let them feel rejected. So we've got to love them. As you said, well, I love my kids. I work myself to death for them. That may be the problem.
Yes.
You may love them too much, and you've been giving them everything under the sun and still putting them, letting them do. They need to know you love them enough to, hey, I love you, and I'm going to know where you are and what you're doing, and I'm going to put some restrictions on you. And let them know that you love them enough that you don't care what other people's children are doing, but your children are not going to do that. See, this is, they know when you begin to share with them, when you begin to do this, that, hey, you know, if they're not rejected, that's for sure. Most people send their kids off because they don't want to be bothered with them. And the kids know why they're doing it. That's why they're turning like this. You go to any mall and the kids, it's full of children. Malls are filled with kids. They have nothing to do, and the parents have taken them up and dropped them off. And I think it's so terrible that they do that. But God says that we need to work in this area. We need to work with our children. Okay. And 2 Corinthians tells us, and I'm about finished. 2 Corinthians tells us that therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. You see, we are the righteousness of God in him. God has reconciled us to him. We're new creatures in Christ. Therefore, the enemy has no right to our house. No right. God wants us delivered. He wants us to get rid of this stuff that's working, these demons that are working there, these little problems we have, these little harassments we have. We call them all kinds of names and saying, it's a demon. I told my husband, one night he came in and I said, man, I tell you, I've been under such an attack today. I said, the devil is so stupid. He really isn't, but I mean, I was telling him he was stupid. I said, you know, I know it's him. He put a paint on you in one place, and you say, oh my goodness, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And he'll leave for a minute, and then he'll hit you somewhere else. I said, if he wanted to really make you, convince you that it wasn't him, I said, y'all, now move. See, so he moves around in your body, but he has no right to your body. When a pain hits you in the head, you need to rebuke it instantly. When a pain hits you in the chest, ever since I've been going down to teach these men in Memphis, the enemy has tried to put a heart attack on me. I never had a heart problem in my life, and I'm not falling for that. I'll be driving down the road, going to teach, and all of a sudden, wham, pain will get just real bad. And I say, well, you big old liar, you're not doing this to me. My body belongs to God. I'm a temple of God. And I said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, and it'll leave just like that. And I'll think about it again till maybe I'll be going somewhere else to share. And all of a sudden, he'll hit me again. And I thought, well, you really ought to try something new. You know, don't you have any new tricks? But you see, God has given us authority over him. And he said, it doesn't work unless you use your authority. It doesn't work if you say, well, I know who I am. I'm a born-again believer. And the devil can't touch me. Well, great. What are you doing down here? Because the word says you're in a war. And you're going to be in one until Jesus comes. And the enemy is going to attack any time he can to try to disrupt you and to make you believe that the word of God don't work. Don't you know that the word says that the word will try you? And you pray and you say, I've had people say, well, I prayed and it didn't work. I said, that's what the devil wanted you to believe. He did. So you've got to stand on the word, you've got to resist the devil, and you've got to be open for what God's saying. And if you want to walk in freedom and in liberty, you have got to tell the things in you that they're trespassing. The word tells us plainly that the body is the temple. Had somebody tell me, I think it was last night, was sharing that said that they had some people come to their church, and so they were having dinner. They were having a fellowship or something after church in the fellowship hall, and said they invited the people back to the fellowship, said, come back, we're having fellowship. And they said, oh, no, we don't eat in the church. Jim said, we are the church. We are the church. You see, we get bound by so many rules and regulations, and God's word is just God's word. And he said, believe it and walk in it and walk in freedom. God wants us free. And this spirit of rejection, he's one that I believe that comes in first in people. I know that he's part of the schizophrenia. I think the other side, according to the book, Frank Hamilton's book, the other side is rebellion, and that's true. And God wants us free from rebellion and rejection. Rejection tries to separate us from people, separates us from family. It separates us. It wants to separate us from God. He'll try everything he can to get you separated from God. And if he can't do anything else, he'll get you to rebel against God. And God says, they that call upon the Lord shall be delivered. Deliverance is the children's bread. It does not belong to the unsaved. It belongs to the children. And God tells us, all we've got to do is ask. By the way, deliverance is part of salvation. You know that. It's just one of the manifestations of salvation. So, believe to be free from this. Believe that God's going to set you free from every spirit of rejection. Amen?
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I bind and break every curse of rejection over everyone here in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy and that nothing can by any means harm us. So in the name of Jesus, Father, as we prepare for deliverance this afternoon, I ask you by your Spirit to reveal to each of us the spirits of rejection, the times of rejection where we have been rejected or felt rejected, that we might ask you to forgive us, repent of them, and forgive the ones that loose the rejection upon us in the name of Jesus. Father, reveal to us. For we, Father, want to be a cleansed people. We want to be free from the power of the enemy. We want, Father, to be filled with your presence, to walk in the Spirit with you. And Father, you said your sheep know your voice. And we're your sheep, Father, and we just ask now that you would talk to us and reveal the truth to us in the name of Jesus, and we'll praise you and give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.